From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar. The Dutch Safety Board investigating the downing of Malaysia Air Flight MH17 over East Ukraine in July of last year issued its final report Tuesday, finding that a Buk missile with a 93N-314M warhead was responsible. The report noted that Ukrainian aviation regulators had admitted that Kiev had used weapons in the east of Ukraine capable of striking passenger aircraft. At a press conference held at an airbase in Gilze-Rijen in the Netherlands, the board announced it had determined that civil aviation aircraft should not have been authorized to fly over the conflict zone in East Ukraine. Tibi Joustra, the Dutch Safety Board chair, stated that there were more than enough reasons to close the airspace of eastern Ukraine and that Kiev should have taken those steps. Airspace over the region was closed after the plane was downed. The Dutch Safety Board also said that they were unable to determine who was in control of the particular area from which the Buk missile system was fired. They said they had only been able to determine that the warhead was detonated from somewhere within a 320 square kilometer area in the east of Ukraine. Joustra noted that the Safety Board had received data from both the Russian Federation and Ukraine regarding the launch location, in addition to the estimates of its own investigators. We now bring you Tuesday's press conference with the Dutch Safety Board in its entirety.
I have just summarized the main conclusions of our investigation into the cause of the crash of flight MH17 in Dutch. You can see the reconstruction of the airplane behind me. Allow me to repeat the most important conclusions. Flight MH17 crashed as a result of the detonation of a warhead outside the aeroplane, above the left-hand side of the cockpit. This warhead was of the 9N314M type, carried on the kind of missile that is installed on the Buk surface-to-air missile system. As a result of the detonation, the forward part of the airplane was torn off. The airplane broke up in the air. The wreckage came down in an area of about 50 kilometers in the eastern part of Ukraine. The missile was launched from a 320 square kilometer area in the eastern part of Ukraine. In the period between 14 and 17 of July 2014, 61 operators from 32 different countries flew over the eastern part of Ukraine, where at that time an armed conflict was taking place. Malaysian Airlines was one of these operators. On the day of the crash, a total of 160 flights had operated above the area until the airspace was closed after the crash. None of the aviation parties involved recognized the risks posed to civil aviation by the armed conflict on the ground. In the opinion of the Dutch Safety Board, there was sufficient reason to close the airspace above the eastern part of Ukraine as a precaution. The Ukraine authorities failed to do so. Ladies and gentlemen, immediately after the crash of flight MH17, it was clear that the Dutch Safety Board wished to contribute to the investigation and to the events. We also caught ourselves asking why the aeroplane was flying over an area where an armed conflict was in progress. That is why one day after the crash, three of our investigators traveled to Kiev. In the end, dozens of investigators ended up contributing to the investigations conducted by the Dutch Safety Board. On the 23rd of July 2014, the Dutch Safety Board took charge of the international investigation into the causes of the crash. This was done at the request of the Ukraine authorities. Seven countries participated in the investigation: the Netherlands, Ukraine, Malaysia, the United States, the United Kingdom, Australia, and the Russian Federation. The efforts and expertise of all the investigators from the countries mentioned all contributed to the quality of the investigation and the report. After this presentation, you will be provided with the investigation reports containing all of our findings. Included with the reports is an animated video. I will be showing you clips from this animation today in order to further clarify the conclusions of our investigation. Ladies and gentlemen, why was Malaysian Airlines flight MH17 flying over an area where an armed conflict was taking place? The question was on the minds of many people after the crash. The answer is as straightforward as it is disquieting. Almost all operators were flying over that area. And why? Because nobody thought that civil aviation was at risk. Firstly, the Dutch Safety Board investigated which operators flew above the area in the eastern part of Ukraine in the period between 14 and 17 July 2014. There turned out to be 61 in all. 61 operators from 32 different countries flew above the area. On the day of the crash, a total of 160 flights had operated above the eastern part of Ukraine until the airspace was closed after the crash. Every single one of those operators thought that it was safe. There was undeniable an armed conflict taking place on the ground, but above 32,000 feet, that is approximately 10 kilometers, the airspace was open to civil aviation. Nobody considered the possibility that civil aircraft at cruising altitude were at risk. In the Chicago Convention, the International Convention on Civil Aviation, it is specified that states are responsible for determining whether the airspace above their territory is safe. In the month before the crash, at least 16 military airplanes and helicopters were shut down in the eastern part of Ukraine. The Ukrainian authorities were aware of this. They stated that occasionally weapon systems were used that could reach the cruising altitude of civil airliners. Yet, despite all this, Ukraine did not close its airspace. Ukraine's position is that there was insufficient reason for closing the airspace above the eastern part of the country. We have, however, concluded that as a precaution, there was sufficient reason for Ukraine authorities to close the airspace above the eastern part of their country. The risks posed to civil aviation were not adequately identified, neither by the state of Ukraine nor by the operators, other states and international organizations. Our investigation has shown that all parties regarded the conflict in the eastern part of Ukraine from a military perspective. Nobody gave any thought of a possible threat to civil aviation. I would like to illustrate the route of flight MH17 up to the moment where the airplane disappeared from radar, as well as the measures pertaining to the airspace above the eastern part of Ukraine. For this, I will be referring, as I already told you, to the animation.
In the early afternoon of July the 17th, 2014, a Boeing 777-200 of Malaysia Airlines departs Amsterdam Airport Schiphol for Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. The flight is prepared as usual, and the aeroplane is in an airworthy condition. On board of flight MH17 are 283 passengers and 15 crew members. The routing of this flight leads via Germany, Poland and Ukraine to the east, a standard routing to Asia that many airlines use. Flight MH17 enters Ukrainian airspace at an altitude of 33,000 feet, following airway Lima 980. The crew diverts a short distance to the north to avoid some thunderstorms when returning to the airway in the eastern part of Ukrainian airspace. In this region, an armed conflict between the Ukrainian government and armed groups is in progress. Therefore, lower levels of the airspace are restricted for civil air traffic. Flight MH17 is routed above this restricted airspace when it is downed by a Buk surface-to-air missile. At that moment, three other commercial airliners fly in that same area. Immediately after the crash of MH17, the question rose how it was possible that a scheduled commercial airliner flew over an area that was known to be a conflict zone. The armed conflict in Ukraine progressively expanded to the air, and several military aircraft had been shot down in the previous weeks. According to Ukrainian authorities, two of these aircraft were hit by more powerful weapons that reached higher than before. But none of the parties involved made any connection between the military developments and the possible risks posed to civil aviation. On June 6, 2014, a notice to airmen, or NOTAM, was issued by Ukraine to restrict the airspace over the eastern part of Ukraine up to flight level 260. This was done to protect military aircraft from ground attacks and to let them fly at a higher level. On July 14th, the restriction was raised to flight level 320. Airlines assumed that the unrestricted airspace above this level was safe. Most commercial airlines continued their flights over the region. On July the 17th, until the airspace was closed, 160 commercial flights passed through this area. Three other airliners were in close proximity of MH17 when it disappeared from the radar screens.
In connection with the investigation, the Dutch Safety Board has formulated a number of recommendations aimed at improving the safety of international civil aviation in the future. States that are involved in an armed conflict should put more effort into promoting the safety of their airspace. Other states, operators, and international organizations will have to improve their risk analysis. Moreover, operators should be more transparent about the flight routes they choose. This will require changes to the international aviation regulations. Ladies and gentlemen, as you will be able to read in the reports, we have based our conclusion on several findings. An important part in this is played by the pieces of wreckage that we have recovered. Using these pieces of wreckage, we have built the reconstruction behind me. As you are probably aware, and as the animation I am about to show you also demonstrates, the recovery of the wreckage was a complicated process. It was up to us to obtain access to an area in which an armed conflict was taking place and to arrange for the wreckage to be transported from Ukraine to the Netherlands for additional examination. In November 2014, the Dutch Safety Board recovered the first pieces of the wreckage. More recovery missions took place in the spring of 2015. As recently as 2 weeks ago, Dutch investigations recovered pieces of wreckage from the area. It cannot be ruled out that more pieces of wreckage will be found in the future. However, we are certain that this would not compromise our conclusions. The conclusions that we are presenting today have been validated extensively. The purpose of the reconstruction was to examine and demonstrate as clearly as possible what caused the crash of flight MH17. We have reconstructed the outside of the forward part of the airplane as well as the outside and inside of the cockpit. That way you can see as well as read what happened on that fateful Thursday in July 2014. I will now show you how the recovery of the wreckage progressed and how the reconstruction of the airplane was put together.
In the autumn of 2014, the first recovery mission for the wreckage took place. From October onwards, preparations were made to recover those parts of the wreckage that were most important and to transport them to the Netherlands for further investigation. During a 6-day period, starting on the 16th of November, the Dutch Safety Board recovered hundreds of pieces of wreckage. The wreckage was transported to a railway station in Torez, Ukraine. In the spring of 2015, two wreckage recovery missions followed. Investigators were able to recover additional wreckage from the sites that could not be investigated before. They also received wreckage that was collected by locals. The first convoy of wreckage arrived in the Netherlands at the Gilse Ryan Air Force Base on the 9th of December 2014. Over the following months, more convoys of wreckage were transported to Chil Zarayon. Upon arrival, all wreckage was sorted, tagged, photographed in front of a green screen, and forensically examined. In a hangar, pieces of the aeroplane were laid out for investigation. All wreckage pieces were examined for failure mechanisms, damage patterns, and traces of external objects that could have hit the aeroplane. The investigation of the wreckage led to further evidence of a surface-to-air missile being the cause of the crash of Flight MH17. A number of other scenarios, such as internal explosions, gunfire, or air-to-air missiles, were excluded. Based on the photographs of the wreckage, a two-dimensional reconstruction was made to identify the position of wreckage on the aeroplane's grid. The major fractures were determined on the basis of the wreckage, the photo reconstruction, as well as the location where each part was found. At Chil Zarayon Air Force Base, the Dutch Safety Board made a three-dimensional reconstruction of the forward section of the aeroplane. First, a frame matching the model of a Boeing 777-200 was built. Over a period of 3 months, the cockpit and the forward part of the business class were reconstructed. The parts were moved to their exact position and fixed in place. This reconstruction was made to validate and visualize the results of the investigation. It shows the overall picture and places various parts and damages in their context. Looking at the reconstruction, the impact pattern made by the high-energy objects is clearly visible.
Ladies and gentlemen, the international investigation into the causes of the crash has demonstrated that flight MH17 crashed because of a 9N314M warhead detonated outside the aeroplane above the left side of the cockpit. This warhead fits the kind of missile that is installed on the MOOC surface-to-air missile system. As a result of the warhead's detonation, thousands of small, preformed metal objects were ejected with tremendous force. Many of these objects were bow-tie-shaped or cubic. Several hundreds of them hit the aeroplane. The impact killed the three crew members present in the cockpit at that moment and caused structural damage to the forward part of the aeroplane. As a result of the detonation, the forward section of the aeroplane broke off, after which the aeroplane broke up in the air. The tail section probably crashed before the center section. This center section, which also contained the engines, hit the ground upside down and caught fire. The breakup resulted in a wreckage area of about 50 square kilometers. Immediately after the crash of flight MH17, people all over the world began speculating about its cause. Many scenarios were circulating. Our investigation not only aimed to the answer to the question of what happened, but also took into account what did not happen. Excluding scenarios is a proven method of investigation. Flight MH17 did not crash as a result of meteor strikes. We have excluded the possibility of the airplane itself having any technical defect or that of a bomb exploding inside the airplane. Nor did flight MH17 crash as a result of an air-to-air attack. Had that been the case, the damage pattern on the wreckage would have been different and the radar images would have shown other aircraft. We have investigated and eliminated all these possibilities one by one. Our report will tell you how. I will now show you the animation that summarizes our main conclusions in a visual form.
The reconstruction demonstrates the effects of the impact and shows the marks where the cockpit was torn from the rest of the fuselage. The high-energy objects that perforated the aeroplane were also found in the bodies of three crew members seated in the cockpit. The preformed fragments have distinctive shapes, cubic and bow-tie shaped, and were made of a ferrous metal. Some fragments had traces of aluminium and glass on them, proving that they had perforated the aeroplane from the outside. The two left windows of the cockpit particularly show perforation by preformed fragments. Many traces of explosives were found on pieces of wreckage. Also, certain traces of paint were found that match paint on parts of a missile that were recovered from the crash site and missile fragments found in the cockpit and the left wing. The retrieved fragments and traces of paint point to a missile carrying a specific type of warhead and launched by a Buck surface-to-air missile system. During the investigation, a number of computer simulations were conducted. These support the surface-to-air missile scenario. The detonation of a 9N314M model warhead was simulated to calculate a point of detonation as well as the damage that could be expected. The warhead exploded on a location in space less than 1 cubic meter to the left of and above the cockpit, spraying its fragments in a characteristic radial circular pattern originating from the missile. These patterns match the damage found on the reconstructed forward section of the fuselage. Further proof of the detonation position was found in the last milliseconds of the cockpit voice recorder. This contained recordings of 3 crew microphones and an overhead microphone in the cockpit on separate channels. During the final milliseconds, these microphones recorded a sound peak. Based on the difference in timing of the recordings of the sound peak on these 4 microphones, a direction could be calculated.
Ladies and gentlemen, as I have stated before, the investigation into the causes of the crash was an international investigation involving 7 states and conducted according to the rules of the International Civil Aviation Organization, ICAO. All representatives from the states participating in the investigation endorsed the conclusion that the crash was caused by the detonation of a warhead in close proximity to the aeroplane. Not all of the representatives endorsed the conclusion that the 9N314M warhead was involved. In its comments on our report, the Russian Federation states that it is not possible to determine the type of warhead and the type of missile that carried it with certainty. The Dutch Safety Board has extensively studied the comments provided by the Russian Federation as well as other parties. Many of the comments contributed to the quality of the report and were adopted. For those cases where we did not adopt a comment, our report clearly states why. The main points made in the Russian Federation's comments, as well as our responses to these, are available in Appendix L to the report entitled About the Investigation. Lastly, I would like to say something about the launch location of the missile. We have investigated the trajectory described by the missile and the positions from which it could have been launched. At our request, a simulation was run to this purpose. The results we have shared with our foreign investigation partners. The calculations demonstrate that the missile was launched from a 320 square kilometer area in the eastern part of Ukraine. We have shared the data on which these calculations were based with the international investigation team. On the basis of those data, Ukraine and the Russian Federation ran their own simulations. The results of the 3 sets of simulations run by the Dutch Safety Board, run by the Russian Federation, and by Ukraine are projected now behind me. Although the results of the 3 simulations indicate comparable geographical areas, additional forensic investigation will be required to determine the launch location. However, such an investigation lies outside the mandate of the Dutch Safety Board. Ladies and gentlemen, this marks the end of this presentation. After 15 months, the Dutch Safety Board closes its investigation into the crash of flight MH17. We hope that this investigation will contribute to civil aviation safety in order to prevent the reoccurrence of a crash like this to as great an extent possible. I thank you very much for your attention.
Earlier in the day, a press conference in Moscow laid out the findings of the Almaz Anti-Defense Company, which conducted two full-scale experiments aimed at recreating the MH17 crash. Those experiments concluded that the missile that downed the flight was an old Buk model fired from a Ukrainian-controlled area, contesting the preliminary theory by Dutch investigators released last June. Two detonations of Buk missiles near aluminum panels and the cockpits of decommissioned Ilyushin 86 passenger airlines in July and October produced what the company called conclusive results. Those results were at odds with an earlier estimate by the Dutch investigators as to the launch location of the missile.
Can you explain what were main differences between the evidence you received during the life tests and what really happened in the situation of a plane crash? Mikhail Vladimirovich told about it in his presentation. Certainly, it is cover these huge, massive of information who are not specialists. Mikhail Vladimirovich did a lot in this direction, and myself on the position of the manager. But we are specialists in this information, and it's easier for us to orient ourselves. I will explain you what was the difference of the experiment, if you mean really the second live test versus the reality. In the reality, Boeing was damaged in the following way. The left engine had damages, both from war had elements and the secondary elements. The left wing was also damaged, left stabilizer of the tailing and the left part of the cockpit. As you remember, the right part of the cockpit, and it is seen in pictures, after such crash, kept some part of glazing. Of course, they are armored, but they in some parts were still in place. But on the experiment, which we carried out based on the version of the preliminary report of the International Commission, stating that the missile should have been approaching from Snezhnoye township, it was clearly demonstrated that the left engine in this case would stay safe and the right engine would have been damaged. This is a serious difference, please. Allow me to state that. The right side of glazing was broken completely. What's the thickness of this glazing? 5 centimeters. It's the armored special glazing. So, the first one was completely damaged, the second one has punctures. If the plane would fall from this height, 10,000 kilometers, also the second window would be broken. So by our experiment, we proved that the version of launching the missile from Snezhnoye is wrong. Besides, two last experiments showed that in the case of 9M38M1, which is more powerful, Boeing would have a lot of punctures in the form of the butterfly, because this I-beam shape are loaded in the warhead of this missile.
Almaz Anti's CEO at the press conference said that in the course of the international investigation, the company was provided with three T-shaped strike elements, which looked like strike elements from a model 9M38M1, causing specialists to make their conclusions last June about the missile type. And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.